remember.
And back when I was a storm watcher, when we had our little training sessions at the weather station at the airport, they said that one flake of snow represented the first snowfall. Whenever snow was seen, that was the first snowfall. Now, whether the standard has been changed or whether that's a universal standard, 1/10 of an inch, I don't know. But in many, many ways, I'm glad to see 2011 gone. And we just hope for a better one. Al, you certainly suffered irreplaceable loss. And my Sally had more problems and difficulties in 2011 than she ever had. And it just wasn't a real, real good year. I can say that it was the year of the rug, and let's see, last year was the year of the rug, and this year was the year of the cub. WU3S, KMHC in the group.
And this is WU3S. So, you fellows are saying single digits by nightfall. That certainly is cold weather coming. And we'll have to see what happens. So, I also guess that you just said, Alvin, that your weatherman says seeing a snowflake is snowfall. My weatherman didn't say that. But he brought in this thing like a significant snowfall is 1/10 of an inch, which is a heck of a lot more than a single snowflake. And I don't remember ever seeing a frost in June. But that's what you mountain folk have to expect, I guess. Now, you mentioned the moon. First of all, I never heard that the opposite side of the moon looks different than the side we see. I've never heard that. But that doesn't mean anything, because I never hear a lot of things. And I understand it. What the satellites are going to do on the moon is to get close enough they can check the gravitational pull of the mountains on the moon. I don't really remember this. I don't know how high the mountains are on the moon. Be interesting to see the result of this experiment. But what they're going to do is have the satellite down low enough so it measures the gravitational pull of the mountains uh, should vary as the satellite goes around, and they're going to try to determine the distribution of the density of the moon. The mountains relative to the plains. And, of course, this they probably will be able to do. But when you figure that the standard theory, if you want to call it that, guessing games that the astronomers play, that the moon was generated by a very large meteor which tore off much of its material from the already existing Earth. And I thought that had been pretty well established. And this is determined by the fact that certain of Isaac Newton's calculations showed that the condition that the moon is in, that it has rested at an orbit where the rotation time is equal to the revolution time. And so it goes around itself once when it goes around the Earth once. So we only see one side of the moon. Now it takes a long time for that to occur. So the moon is known to be old, and it's the fact that we only see one side of it is proof that it is old and not some recent event at all. But it's been a long time since I've read anything about that. So your puppy dog's back in, and you've been working again as you usually do, and you are the workingest fellow I ever knew. So back to you, Mr. Al. W3ZRQ. This is WU3S.
WU3S and the group W3ZRQ. You were talking about the latest snowfall. Well, I don't know. I can't remember what year it was. But I remember going to church on Easter. We get into church, had the service. So we had Sunday school and the service afterwards. When we walked out,
established that there because of when we were up there, the samples that we brought back. They took and analyzed everything and had the same consistency of the earth. So I remember seeing that there on one of the network, History or Discovery channels. They come out with some neat programs once in a while. I have to sit there and watch them. Like I said, I moved everything up out of the basement. Well, not everything yet. I have cabinets down there that are loaded with videotapes. There's like three of them down there yet. And I want to get that up. And I also have a filing cabinet. And sitting on top of that is my reel-to-reel Akai tape recorder. I want to get that up, and that one there, I bought that when I was in the service. Got it in Yokosuka, Japan, while we were over there. And boy, that plays beautiful music. So I want to get that up here and get that connected to my sound system. I already have the sound system up. And that there, I have it right now. It's connected to my main computer. And I was sitting here the other day after I had everything up and put back together again. I had to take the console completely apart in order to bring it up. This console is 5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet high. And I had to take it apart piece by piece, bring it up, put it back together again. One of the things, I was smart, when I put it together, I did not use any glue. All of it is just screwed together. Because I figured one of these days I'm going to have to take and get it out of the basement. And I figured if I glue it, I'll never get it apart. So we got that up, put it back together again, and got all my equipment up. And of course it fit perfect. Well, I planned on putting it against the one wall where the bulletin board is. And like I said, I'm going to get some pictures of the shack here. Get them printed up and I'll send them to you so that I'll show you what I was doing. I think I have a picture somewhere of the room here. Only has a couple tables in it. When we had Renee's birthday party. I had the room all done, but I didn't have nothing moved up yet. I was holding off until after Renee's birthday party because I needed the room up there. We had a whole house full, and I know I did get pictures of it. Let's see. Oh, Shirley, she just aroused. She just come walking through right now. She's filling the dog's food bowl up. Water ball. So, I guess after we're done here at 8 o'clock, Justin will be popping in the door. He went to work last evening. He gets out of here about 6. Has to be at work for 7. He gets done at 7 in the morning and he never gets home till about 8 o'clock in the morning. He comes walking through here and goes to he's down and his eyes are almost shut. He puts a 12-hour shift in up there in the emergency room up there at Berwick Hospital. So, let's see, what am I going to be doing later? I don't know, but I'll figure something out. K8MHC and the group, W3ZRQ.
Oh, okay, K8MHC returning. Well, we talked to our daughter that's in Maryland last night, and her husband had to, is on the crazy shift. He had to work until 1 o'clock and had to be back to work at 5:30. So it once in a while there's a crazy shift that comes along, and I don't quite understand all of the ramifications of it, and so I don't really get into it. And yes, it would be interesting to see what that shack looks like. I'm in shape, you see, mine. Although I do have some pictures snapped in my camera, I have never, ever had a picture processed since I've had that camera. I need to pull that little memory stick out, take it to Walmart, and get a gal to help this big dummy and select some, get them printed, and see what I have. Listen to this, Mr. Quentin, Mr. Al. While the moon is ever so slightly lopsided, with the far side more mountainous than the side that always faces Earth, remains a mystery. A theory put forth earlier this year suggested that Earth once had two moons that collided earlier in the solar system's history, producing the Himoxie region. Grail is expected to help researchers better understand why the moon is astrometrical and how it formed by mapping the uneven lunar gravity field that will indicate what's below the surface. They pretty well established the fact that just looking at the surface and exploring the surface is not going to tell them. But by actually exploring beneath the surface is what that they are primarily interested in now. And there are ever-evolving theories about it, but the latest one that was postulated for 2011 says that there were two moons that collided. W3S, KADMHC in the group.
Well, I never heard that. And that is interesting, because I think you said that you used to get a lot of your information from popular science, or maybe it was science and mechanics. But I also thought you said you stopped getting those magazines because there was too much stretching of the truth by the editors. So it's going to be interesting to hear you say where you have been getting these little bits to remember. I was very aggravated when it happened. But the one thing about the unseen side of the moon is that all the craters have Russian names. And we could have just as easily put a satellite around the moon and seen the other side as fast as the Russians did. But the Russians did it, and we just sat there like bumps on the log, as the expression goes. W3ZRQ, this is WU3S.
WU3S and a group W3ZRQ. Had two moons. That's the first time I heard that one. I don't ever recall hearing that before, so that's a good possibility. Yeah, you never know. But let's see, what do I have here? I'm taking my notes, believe it or not. I did drop my, didn't renew my subscription to Popular Science. That is the magazine that that I am dropping. Where did I get this information? Sunday, January the 1st, 2012, the Exponent Telegram. And it goes on to state that once they orbit the identical spacecraft, which incidentally are about the size of a washing machine, will spend the next 2 months refining their positions until they are just 34 miles above the surface and flying in formation. Data collected will begin in March. This whole project costs $496 million for this mission. Despite the latest focus on the moon, NASA won't be sending astronauts back anytime soon. The Obama administration last year mixed a lunar return in favor of landing humans on an asteroid and eventually Mars. And another reason that we won't be sending astronauts back, Japan has all, no, strike that, China has already announced that they are well in their preparation to land man on moon, on the moon, and not only that, but also to set up a base camp on the moon. So, it's going to be interesting. W3S, KMHC.
Yeah, that's the one I want to see. Depending upon the Webb telescope, which is supposed to see the end of the universe, and I still am in the position of saying I don't think they're going to see the end of the universe. They're going to see something new and novel that they never thought of before. Because that's the way most scientific discoveries come about. You haven't thought of what it's going to be until you see it, and then you are completely surprised by what you see. W3ZRQ. This is WU3F.
WU3F in a group, W3ZRQ. Yeah, you're right. I just think years back, of course, when my dad was young, when he watched the Rogers and all that there, a lot of this stuff is came to pass. And where did they get these ideas from? Well, the imagination. But everybody's imagination runs wild once in a while. And Jules Verne, he come along and he had some nice novels and that there. Of course, they put them in the movies and made movies out of them. But a lot of this stuff has come to pass. In other words, they walked on the moon. They've done space exploration of the different planets, etc. And everything basically started from the minds of different people. And they just made it fact. I wanted them to take a mention when somebody had mentioned about dues and magazines and renewals and that. I just was on the internet this morning checking my email accounts, etc., checking the weather, and AOL sent me my second notice of AOL renewal notice. Well, let's see, it's January, March specifically done that date in order to take and get away from the Christmas holidays. So what does ARL do? They're sending me notices and all that there before Christmas. Saying I gotta take and renew. I don't have to. I have to get it done before March 31st. So, like I said, I specifically stayed away from the holidays because of the money situation. And then they're coming out a quarter year earlier trying to see, you gotta renew quick or else you're gonna take and lose your QST and all that. So, maybe I should just let it go for a couple more months and see if they say anything. But magazines, you know, I took them. The only ones I get right now is QST and CQ Mags. I used to get all the train magazines, the airplane magazines, and all that there. I just left them all drop. Got to the point where I had nothing but magazines here. Right now, I don't even collect them anymore. Number one, when you do have a collection, nobody wants them. With the internet on now, you can take and go back and get back issues, back articles of different issues and add there and see them. So, why take and store them here at the house? I have a pile downstairs in the basement, which when I start cleaning that up in the spring, I will be taking to the recycle center here to get rid of them because nobody wants them. That's a shame, too, because a lot of the model railroad magazines that I have, I think there's three different ones I used to get. I have them all the way back to the early 1950s. When I was young, I used to take and collect those. And I was collecting all the way up until about 1990. So I got a slew of them downstairs in boxes. And they're just taking a room up. So I may as well take and get rid of them. Nobody wants them. K8M8C in the group, W3ZRQ.
Yeah, okay, I might say. I learned that. Let me think here a minute. It was in the late 70s. I had 40 years plus of QST, and I think not as much of CQ, but I had lots of CQs. And I had quite a selection of 73, and I discovered that nobody wanted them, and as much as it broke my heart, we were getting ready to move. I just slowly got rid of them, and I guess they went in the landfill. Well, on this moon deal, said the trip for the 250,000 miles, the trip took 3.5 months to make the trip. So that is another little spicy tidbit that came in. And Al, I didn't mention your comments about your music. Yeah, that's a very important thing to me. The car is absolutely ruining me as far as music appreciation is concerned. I get such a much better selection there. The XM radio that... one of these days, if I get all my bills paid, I just may haul off and order an XM receiver and feed that in through my stereo. Have it in the house and have it in here. PBS sometimes has some good music. Sometimes it's it's a little more highbrow than my wife likes, and that I like to a degree. I like a little bit of operatic music, but I sure don't want to listen to whole opera. And my favorite music is symphonic orchestra. I do like that. But local radio, the local AM station plays music in the 50s and the 60s, 40s, 50s and 60s. At times, and other times they play more contemporary music. It's no problem at all to get what we used to call hillbilly music, or now to get country music. That's easy to find, and this rap stuff pollutes the airways, and a lot of the more modern music, I'm just such an old fossil that I just do not appreciate it. Even religious music that's sung and performed in the church, a lot of it I do not like, and the reason why, if I can't hum it or whistle it or sing it and remember it, I really don't care much for it. And that is to say that so much of it does not have a melody, and it's usually the melody that you learn first. So that tells you what an old fossil I am. W3S, KMHC.
Well, we really agree on that, Miss Thousand. I'm a melody man myself. And if you can't hum it, then it's not music. But of course, a lot of people disagree with that. In fact, I was very, very much surprised the other day, because certainly in modern music, and that means in my lifetime, music written since I was born. The Gershwins, George and Ira, were remarkable fellows. And when you figure that they wrote a new stage show, I think it was every year for 17 years in a row. And we are certainly used to hearing George and Ira Gershwin music. But I was very much surprised the other day when I heard music coming over the radio, and I said, that sounds like Gershwin. And to my great surprise, it turned out to be Gershwin. But it was one that was not regularly played. So this particular song was not generally available to humankind. But I heard the music. It was written in 1924 when I was 3 years old. And it sounded like Gershwin, and it was Gershwin. And I actually never thought that I would ever reach a situation where I would tell you, after I heard the music, I would tell you who wrote it. And this really surprised me just by listening
You cannot help but accrue a certain amount of information that tells you things you never thought you'd remember. W3ZRQ, this is WU3S.
WU3S and a group W3ZRQ here. 3 years old. You remember back that far. Of course, my sister, she says, and we get talking about that, how early can you remember? And my sister, she always comes out with the saying, yes, I remember going to a picnic with my dad, coming home with my mom. music. I have all kinds of music downstairs, which, like I said, I want to bring up. And a lot of it's tape. I just hope the tape's still good yet. We have direct TV satellite for our TV here. And I know, I think it's up around 800, the number channel. From there on up in the 800 series, there are all kinds of music. You name it, you could select it, and it's 24 hours of continuous music. And you want the 40s, 50s, 60s, each channel is a different one. Hillbilly music, jazz, anything, even symphony, everything, you name it, it's there. And usually when we're doing any cleaning here, I usually take and put that channel on and just listen to the music while we're dusting and cleaning up here and that. Or else if I'm just working here and I don't want to take and have a radio turned on, I'll just take and turn the music channel on and the TV and just listen to that. But I know this is getting that close to that time, 7:57, so I'll say my 73s this round and listen for your finals. See you tomorrow morning. K8MHC, WU3S. Here's W3ZRQ. Good morning.
Okay, very fine. Yes, we get that. We get a portion of that on our cable, Al, but I get all of it on the XM. You tune to the channel for the decade that you want to listen to. And to our utter amazement, and I was really shocked, a lot of the music that both of us recall and enjoyed came out of the 40s. I would have thought mostly the 50s, but then you stop and think, and we were married in 55, so it would have to come out of the 40s, but it just never really rang a bell until we got the XM. Don't worry about the tape. The tape's good for 100 years. The disc or not. But I think I've probably got some tape here that would go back over 60 years. I'm just trying to think. It was a tape that, it was an early tape, and the iron oxide comes off of it, and you had to clean the head quite often. I'm not sure that I've still got it, but I think maybe I do. And but that's one of the startling developments that really shocked them. I know the Library of Congress, they were very much concerned in getting everything on disc that they could. But come to find out, the disc, the longevity of it is not as long as the vinyl tape. So, fellas, I guess I'm just wondering about the chip. Wonder how long the data will stay in a chip. That's something to think about. We just accept it right now, and I got radios here that you had put a battery in to maintain the memory, and I got radios that have no battery, but it simply maintains its memory within the chip itself. So, interesting. 73s, fellas, and Al, Mr. Quentin, I was on Saturday morning, and I called, and I heard nary soul. So, left my seat of operations and proceeded to do something else. W3ZRQ sign, KMHC signing, over to W3S. Good morning.
And a very good morning to both you gentlemen. And, you know, I have Verizon, Fios, they say 10,000 channels, but they do not play big band music as we heard it in the late 30s and early 40s. So I called them about it, and they say, we don't plan to play it. This is what you get. You have no choice. Isn't that nice to hear? Even if you were willing to pay extra, they do not send it. And that's the way it is. Very good morning. This is WU3S closing down.